Well, we're glad you're all here today. We have a new memory verse for the month, and it's found on the front page of your bulletin if you want to take a look at that, or we're going to throw it up on the screen. And if you've never been with us before, we say the scripture reference, we say the verse together, and then we say the reference again. So here we go, Matthew 12, 23, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit, Matthew 12, 23. Thank you. Sounded good. I'm also going to start with a scripture found in the book of John, if you want to turn there, John chapter 1. And many of you have heard this before. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world, and he was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him, and he cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father. He has made him known." Would you join me for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, as we jump into the Advent season and get set for Christmas, we humble ourselves before you. We say thank you for who you are. We know that we have received joy, strength, mercy, grace, forgiveness, all of those wonderful things from you. And so we honor you today as we talk about your word, as we talk about the season, and as we draw closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, my lovely wife, Stacy, she has a favorite singer from times gone by, and actually, she was one of my favorites too, and in fact, she made drumming cool for women. She had a soft yet raspy alto voice, and so many of her songs were smooth and singable. And she sang this song, "Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? Just like me, they long to be what?" Wow. Okay, now who has not heard that song before? Okay, a couple. We're going to play just a little bit of a snippet here. Do you have that? You can sing along every time. Here we go. "Just like me, they want to be close to you." Thank you, guys. Now, why do you sing that better than a hymn? Actually, we're going to look at it a little bit like a hymn. And I want you to hold on to that lyric just for a moment. I long to be close to you. And first, I want to talk about the Old Testament just for a second as you think about that phrase, being close to you. If we take a look at the Old Testament, we find that almost every person who believed in God was afraid of God. And by that, I mean like, father-son relationship or something, you're going to get a spanking. If you do something bad, you're going to get a spanking, or in God's case, even death, fire, hell. And so we find the Old Testament pointing to a sort of distance between God and mankind. And even when God appeared to Moses, it was in front of a burning bush. And God said to Moses, take off your shoes, for this place is holy. Imagine what would have happened if Moses walked on that place with his shoes. It's gone. Maybe. Don't touch. God distanced himself from the people. And you might remember when Moses went up to the mountain. He distanced himself again and he said, don't let those people touch the mountain, because if they touch the mountain, it's holy, they're dead. In the tabernacle, in the temple, distance between God and man was always prominent. It was a big deal. The crowds of people really didn't even get to enter the outer court of the temple. Into the inner court, no one but the priests might dare to enter. And if I were a priest, I would just say, Lord, look, really, I don't even want to go in. You know, just speak to me from wherever. So they didn't even dare. And the high priest could enter. The high priest then could enter the innermost place. It was called the Holy of Holies. Could you imagine being a priest and walking in there? You had all these rules and regulations, because if you didn't do it just right, you're gone. And even the priest did not get to see God face to face. Now that priest would only go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and I'll bet you that priest was shaking. There's no way any of us would, if we were a priest, would walk into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament and not be afraid for our lives. Now, you know, out behind the sanctuary, right back out here, where people stand and talk, I've mentioned this before, that's called the narthex. And the meaning of narthex is actually porch for sinners. So when you're back out there, right, you're talking, that's where all of us sinners would sit. And back then, it was as if God in all his glory was teaching mankind. That's where everybody had to sit, in the porch for sinners, right? So it's kind of like God in all his glory was teaching man, or us, all of humankind, that sin is so sickening to him that he had to treat his people as lepers. They can believe, but they have to stay clear of the Holy of Holies, because it's perfect. They had to stay in the narthex, in that porch for sinners. And even when God came near his people, he still made them feel that there was this wide separation between a holy God and the sinner. You might recall in the book of Genesis when God created Adam and Eve and he walked with them in the garden. It doesn't say that they could see him visibly, but it does say that he walked with them in the garden and he was close to them, very close to them. And God physically put both of them together. The Bible says that. I don't know how he did it. It just said he put them together. So I'm imagining him creating Adam and Eve, and finally when he creates Eve, he just kind of pushes her towards Adam and says, hey, here you go. And after they sinned and made some figgy clothing to cover themselves, Genesis 3, 8 and following says, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they, Adam and Eve, hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The result of their sin led to a separation from God. Of course, God would still talk with them, but no longer after that do we find him walking really with anyone, as in walking in the garden. In fact, God kicked them out of the garden. So I can imagine God still going for a walk in the garden by himself, but he kicked Adam and Eve out. And it's almost as if one could believe in God, but one could never see God or walk with God again. The fear was so strong. One could sort of be close to God, even have faith, but the idea was sort of don't touch. And I mean, there we have a few exceptions. We have Jacob, who wrestled, and a couple other folks, you know, Jacob wrestles with God and the Lord and knocks his hip out and, right, changes his name to Israel. So there are a few exceptions, but it's very rare. And the exciting part of this is that from the beginning, God had a plan. So when the gospel came, the gospel of Jesus Christ came, we were placed on another foot, another footing. We were able to walk differently. The word go, because God would say, go, leave the garden. The word go was exchanged for the word come. Come to me. Distance gave place to nearness. And then all of us who were in the narthex, right, the porch for sinners, we got to get close to God. And that happened by the blood of Jesus Christ. The book of John in the New Testament tells us that Jesus, who was there from the beginning, became one of us. That is so significant. He became a human being. God became man. And there was no fire burning around Jesus. No swords in front of him, right? I'm going to cut you down if you get too close. People got so close to Jesus that they could touch him, the hem of his garment. They wanted to touch him. They wanted to be touched by him. And he said, come to me, all you folks who labor, are exhausted and hurting, and I will give you rest. Now, to me, that's a joyful proclamation of God as he appeared in human flesh, as one of us. The leper is no longer set at a distance. The unclean can now come forward and even come into the church or the synagogue and touch Jesus. We can get close to God. And so we celebrate the fact that God became one of us and dwells among us. That's kind of what Christmas is about. Advent is about some more things like the return of Christ. But now he walks with us, he talks with us, he tells us we are his own. And you know the song, the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. So this nearness to God now is incredible. It's intense. If you want it to be intense, you can distance yourself from God. But if you want an intense relationship with God because of Jesus Christ, because he was born 2,000 years ago and lived that life he lived, now we can walk and talk with God. That's pretty incredible. It's unbelievable that God would go through all that pain and suffering to walk with us again, to become close to you. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you know, it's a privilege to be near God, isn't it? We don't deserve it, but he's given us the privilege. That's pretty cool. So it seems like God could not stand the distance sin had put between us, between God and humankind. And then at the right time, through Mary, his son, the Word, as we learned this morning, Jesus is the Word, was born, became flesh, became one of us, walked among us, and they called him Emmanuel, which means what? God is with us. Do you see what happened there? God lived among us, God could now be touched, and God called us back to himself. Now, if you know this, and if you believe this, are you living in the power of it? Are you living in the power of what you believe about your Savior Jesus Christ? Imagine if you are near with God now. Let's say you have a personal relationship with God. We know we're all sinners and stuff, but you can have that personal relationship. You can be near God, and God is close to you today because of his son, Jesus Christ. What must it be like when he returns? That's going to be fantastic. We've talked about us being a light for Jesus before, and You know, when you are the light, when you have that light of Jesus Christ in you, people will see that just like you, they will long to be close to Him. When God is close to you, He becomes close to others. So what a story we have in Jesus, from the separation of God to being close to Him. Some 2,000 years ago, that happened. All things changed. And in Jesus, because of Him becoming one of us, and as we celebrate communion today, that He died and He rose again, we can say goodbye to the porch for sinners, right? We're all in here with Jesus. Not only that, it's not in a room anymore. It's in the heart. And that's where He walks with us every single day. Do you know Jesus? Is He living in your heart? We have one person this morning that said yes several weeks ago, Jacob. And he's going to prove that today with a proclamation of his own. Isn't that wonderful? We want everyone in this place, in the community, in the world, to know who Jesus Christ is. If you don't know Him today, would you say yes to Him? And you know what? I don't care if you got your clothes on and you want to get baptized. You can jump right in there with us this morning if you feel like it. We're going to sing a hymn. We're going to get set for baptism and communion. Before we do that, would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, You are so powerful. And at the same time, You have that grace and that love and that forgiveness. We say thank You for that. And we do say thank You for Your birth 2,000 years ago. Sometimes we try to figure out why You even did it, because sometimes we feel really unworthy. But you know what? You always call us back home. So we say thank You. Would You bless the rest of this morning as You have the first part of the service, and then the rest of our day and the weeks to come as we start rejoicing and singing joyfully to You about Christmas? Thank You for loving us. In Your name we pray. Amen.